Welcome to the episode of Love. Yes, the Infected are dedicating an entire episode to the greatest infection of all, the infection we call love. Love can catch you completely unaware. Love can change your life. Love can turn into music. And love can even change the world, as our first love story will show. In 1962, a teacher married, became a mother, and led a completely unremarkable life. Until she met another man. He wasn't quite her type. He was nice to her, but didn't take good care of himself, so she started to cook for him every now and then. Slowly, her life turned upside down. Coming under his influence, she broke with conformism. She left her job as a teacher, she left her husband and her home, and followed her lover to lead a bohemian life in London. The year was 1971. She made her first fashion statement by getting a white, spiky haircut. He had the idea of opening a shop in rock and roll clothing. Because the original 50s clothing was hard to find, she took place behind a sewing machine herself. She began putting her own stamp on the shop more and more. The 50s fashion was replaced by her own contemporary, sparkling and provocative clothing. Her t-shirts with slogans against authority and consumerism proved a success among London's rebellious youth. He took the concept even further by renaming the shop Sex a year later. She designed her clothes using torn clothing, safety pins and bicycle chains. He suggested her to add bondage and S&M elements to the style. Around their store, a unique subculture formed. Their friends and models were the Sex Pistols, Susie Sue, Adam Ant and Chrissy Hynde. She became one of the world's most famous fashion designers, and he became a music producer and an artist. Together, they would unchain a revolution in culture and music. This is the story of Vivienne Westwood and Malcolm McLaren.
Back in Nagasaki, I got married to Cho Cho San. That was her name in those days. When I was her man. I've gone back and visit her. But she got a problem. She got a little Cho Cho. Cho Cho San was her name. And Mr. Taylor Wolf. Take it away, Cho Cho.
I'm a bounder. I married a Yankee girl.
But I went back to visit old Japan, where there she was, Cho-Cho-San.
Gotta have something to believe in. My white honky, I do miss him. Someday soon he'll come around, just to stop my nervous breakdown. Call me fool, call me stupid. Spend my hour, kill this Cuban. Say it with me. Hey, I have faith in this love train.
So, Goof, what did you think of Madame Butterfly?
Well, this is pure magic. I don't know where to start. It's just pure emotion. I can analyze it all I want all day long, but I'm not even listening to what the lyrics are, but it's just so big sounding. It's a opera, but then in a digital way of some kind. Man, this is a long-time favorite, and I'm glad to hear it now on our show. Finally.
Yeah, this is a song that I lost for a while, and every now and then it happens that you find a song that you forgot about, and you find it back, and you go, oh, wow, and you get goosebumps all over again when you hear it.
Yeah.
And that happened to me
goosebumps
with...
Goosebumps is the right word, my friend.
Yeah.
Definitely,
yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. Happened to me with this song.
Take it away, Jojo. And then she comes in with her beautiful angelic voice, and you hear that beautiful... synthesized melody in the background. It's just it takes you away. 6 minutes and 30 seconds. I could listen to this probably for 24 hours in one stretch and still not get bored. But for real,
yeah,
this is great.
And I also liked picking this one because of the love story, obviously, of Malcolm McLaren and Vivian Westwood, but also because it's it just shows the very wide range of artistry that they had, right? It's not just God Save the Queen and Anarchy in the UK.
No.
There's a very, very wide range of creativity that's come out of these this couple. And even 45 years later, the torn up jeans that she came up with are still in fashion. You can still buy them in the stores, right? The influence is hard to overestimate.
It is, and it's a very layered, very deep track. That's something that you would expect out of people that have been doing this for a really long time with a lot of talent, this kind of value.
Yeah.
What made you select this track? What made you think about this track after all this time? You just mentioned you forgot about it, but made you think about this?
Actually, we were going to do this episode about love, and I was thinking of the theme, and all of a sudden this song popped up in my mind, and I hadn't heard it for at least 10 years. And I thought, oh wow, that's a great song. And then I thought, okay, the love story of Malcolm and Vivian is a pretty good one as well. And I wanted to find out how that worked exactly and how that started. So I did some research, and that's how I ended up with this. And happy to hear that you're also a fan.
This station is now the ultimate power in the universe.
The Infected.
So Jeroen, I will take our listeners and you a couple of decades ahead. 2012, I'm talking about another love couple, and it's Inner Gaze and Aurora Halal, that's her name. So we're constantly discovering new music on this podcast, and a good example is the band Inner Gaze. It's a musical collaboration between Steve Summers and his girlfriend Aurora, and the couple have released two albums. The latest one is from 2012 called Mutual Dreaming. So they started off making sexy disco tracks, a bit of house music actually, but on the album Mutual Dreaming, they mix modern electronic sounds with beats and a lot of 80s vibes, and that's where we come in, right? The entire album has a classic Chicago house vibe to it, and that Chicago house vibe must be because of the drum computer that they used, the dominance of the Roland TR-707 drum machine, also called the Poor Man's 909. So it's a drum machine that has basically only samples of 8-bit. The crash and ride samples are even 6-bit. The 909 drum computer has, almost only analog sounds, apart from also 6-bit samples of the hi-hats and the cymbals. The 707 was not really discovered at the time, and the 909 was so expensive in the 90s when people started to create house music that producers that didn't have a lot of funding went to the 707, hence the poor man's 909. Anyway, back to the album. There's really not one specific genre that it fits into, and we say that a lot over the last couple of episodes, but also that's what makes this music so interesting and fresh. The tracks are evolving, and that must be the outcome of some intense jam sessions between the two lovers. Each track offers something unique, I think. The vocal effects on tracks like In Your Gaze, we're about to play that one, bring a nice and spacey vibe to it. It's all on Spotify as well. These guys, or girl and guy, don't waste too much time on the introductions, and within 30 seconds all the tracks are on their way, basically. So it's music that you can enjoy on a quick joyride along the Dutch coast or any coastline, or in the middle of the night on a empty beach gazing at the stars. It's quite interesting. So the album, it's only about 30 minutes long, 8 tracks. This is In Your Gaze from the lovers duo that is Inner Gaze. We'll be right back.
So it fades away.
Yeah, it does.
This is a really nice track. I never heard of these guys, or this guy and this girl.
Me neither, until a couple weeks ago. Yeah.
And it's really original, because it has this sort of electro breakbeat feel,
yeah.
And yet it takes a turn to the dark side, specifically around the 4-minute mark. It sort of weirds out in a really nice way. I love the vocoder on the vocals.
Yeah,
very nice atmospheric track. And just when you think they're building up some tension, you get these little light melodies, really high. Yeah, really lovely track. Really enjoyed it.
Yeah, got it. It has a certain energy, that's because of that breakbeat sound, the drums that you just mentioned. But it's dreamy at the same time, and it's also quite hard to find recent examples of great use of a vocoder. It usually sounds like cliché, but I think these guys did a really good job to give it a good place in the song.
Yeah, I think so too. And I have, there's a cliffhanger, the last song we'll play on this show. Is another example of a couple of lovers who use the vocal effects very, very nicely. A bit in the same sort of atmosphere.
Looking forward to it. Okay, sounds good.
Yeah, you'll just have to wait a little bit. We have some more good stuff coming up before we get there. So how did you come across Inner Gaze?
Man, I can't even remember. That's a good question. It's been in one of my playlists, and I think I found out about it through some online radio station or something, or some suggestions on Spotify. I can't really remember. It's also not that fresh. It's from 2012, so it's almost 9 years old. Sounds very fresh to this day, but
yeah.
I can't remember.
Well, could have been this year's production.
Yeah. And we're having a lover special this week, and this was the third track, the last track I selected, and by... well, kind of a coincidence, they turned out to be a couple.
Yeah.
So that was an easy pick.
Yeah.
But that's not the reason. The song is just great.
Yeah.
So that's why we picked it out.
Actually, that's the way it worked. You said I have three great songs, and they turn out to be songs by lovers, each and every one of them. And then I had a challenge of trying to complete the set and coming up with another three.
Yes.
But I found another story. A story about a drummer.
Yeah.
A drummer who had some recording success with two separate bands in the 70s. Also, it's a story about a singer, a performer, and part of the intimate entourage of Malcolm and Vivian's Sex Fashion Store.
Oh.
Her band had just released their second album on major label Polydor when, at the beginning of the album's tour, both the guitar player and the drummer just walked out. So, in September 1979, this drummer joined her band, with the intention to be a temporary replacement for the drummer on the tour. But he would never leave. They would remain together for almost 25 years, 15 of them as a married couple. When their band wasn't recording or touring, they went into the studio together, breaking free of their commercial constraints. They were so deeply in love that they were eager to spend as much time together as possible, out of and inside the studio, where they let the more minimalistic and experimental muses take over. This is a love story of Susie Sue and Budgie, who, when recording together, called themselves The Creatures. On a two-week Hawaii holiday in 1983, they recorded their first album, featuring acoustic sounds from the local populace, as well as an inventive percussion and vocal overdub selection. Their next album was recorded in Spain and southern France in 1989, and has a heavily Catalan vibe with multi-ethnic percussion, flamenco guitars, Dixieland jazz, electronics and other eclectic sounds. And then again 10 years later, in 1999, they recorded their third album, A Journey into Darker Electronica and Dance. The album was called Anima Animus, This is the opening song from that album. This is Disconnected.
Say this is a great track. 3.5 minutes long. Power, it's drums. There's some bass going on. You got the powerful voice of Susie. It's a really, really great track. Never heard this one. Know quite some songs by Susie and the Banshees, but the Creatures are, well, I know they existed, but I can't really name one song by them. But this is a good introduction for me.
Yeah, it's a really a fun project that they did when they were off together. So you have to imagine these guys being in a band, having to produce albums for Polydor, then touring, and then, you know, when you finally have some time off together, what do? You stay together, you go on holiday together, you record the sounds around you, and then you don't go to the beach, you don't go to the club, no, you're going to the studio, and you're going to make even more music, but with even less requirements for your entertainment, so... That is true dedication and true devotion to each other and to the music.
Dedication is the right word. Yes, sir, indeed. Man, so what makes this track so interesting? It's basically just that bass, the drums and some singing, but there's also a lot of reverb going on in the background, a lot of mood, quite some tension build up as well, but just by drums basically. It's awesome. It's not on Spotify, unfortunately.
No, it's not on Spotify.
A lot of great things are not on Spotify.
Yeah, people can find the track on our website too if they're looking for it. But there's different versions of it on YouTube as well.
Mm-hmm.
And all the musical instruments were played by Budgie. And what he does very cleverly, being a drummer, is that he uses all kinds of percussion to bring in little melodies into the rhythm. And that's why you don't really miss guitars all that much or synthesizers.
Mm, yeah.
This is one of the later albums, 1999, so the production is very nice as well.
Because mm-hmm.
they could afford a decent studio by then, obviously.
Can imagine. Sounds great.
Thank you.
The Infected.
So I'm going to take it to the Netherlands, dear listeners, and Jeroen. I'm talking about Nine Circles, the next band we're going to play.
Wait, what? They're Dutch?
They're Dutch.
Oh, really?
Well, that's not entirely true, I have to be honest. It's a Dutch-German minimal electronic band, so that's part Dutch, part German.
Oh.
But we're neighboring countries, so let's call it Dutch.
Nachbarn, yeah.
So then, yeah, Nachbarn. Nine Circles, the name originates, by the way, from the Nine Circles of Hell, from Dante's Divine Comedy.
Oh, yeah.
The famous literary work. And it also immediately reminds me of the great movie The Ninth Gate with Johnny Depp. And I didn't prepare that well into a full-blown The Big Picture for this week, but check out The Ninth Gate. Anyway, Nine Circles, the band, they were founded in 1980 in Amsterdam by Lydia Viala, that's her name, and also Peter van Garderen, the other member of the band. They were lovers and Peter already played in a band. Lydia wrote poems and lyrics since she was 15 years old, basically, I found out.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And back in the 80s in the Netherlands, we had a radio show that allowed new wave bands to become more well-known. So bands could send in their demo tapes and some of them got the possibility to play live in the radio and to release their songs also on a compilation LP by that same radio station. That was actually a public broadcaster, so like the BBC, but then we had the same thing in the Netherlands. And Nine Circles got the live radio deal and the possibility to be on the LP. In the meantime, Peter and Lydia became a couple, and within 2 years, after getting to know each other and recording some songs, they composed 60 songs together in 2 years only.
Yeah. Whoa.
Quite a productive couple. I'm wondering how many children they had. They had 60 songs, but anyway. In 1982, the relationship broke up and also the band broke up. Later, Lydia lived in another relationship and took care of her new partner and kids. She put away the music. She still kept writing poems and lyrics, though. That might have been it for Nine Circles if Lydia's son Patrick hadn't searched for her name on the internet and discovered that the band's history and also still had a really big fan base and interest. So he told his mother about this, and Lydia began the project again in 2010. Minus Peter, that is, because they split up. He didn't want to be a part of it anymore, but he did send her all the old recordings and demos that they made together, all those 60 songs. And Lydia found a new collaborator in Pers Anders Kurenbach. Some years later, a new album called Alice was released. So thanks to her son, she found out that their fan base was very much alive and kicking. People were really eager to hear new work. The song we're about to play right now is actually mixed by Jeroen. And he did a really kick-ass job, as you will soon hear. So we're gonna mix in this one with the next track. This is a 2014 track by Nine Circles called Mercy.
Was it not me who was dreaming of a future?
And so we fade out of the mix, back into reality. I really liked these two songs, and I also immediately felt the need to connect them somehow, because there's a similarity which crosses, I don't know, 10, 15 years in time.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I think the connection is space. And I don't just mean the space sounds, but also the fact that both of these tracks really take their time and mm-hmm. give room and space to individual sounds. And
yeah, I like that.
They're really dreamy and they take you away, but it's all very open and atmospheric. And I just really, really like them.
Yeah, it's not rushed. It's not forced. I get what you're saying, man. Yeah. So that, by the way, that transition is perfect. It's spot on again.
Thanks.
Right. What did you use to mix this, Jeroen? Kind of software or tell us more?
I have some software, yeah. Basically, I've been doing mixes for fun for 15 years. Mm-hmm. And 15 years ago, I used some software called Mixmeister, mm-hmm. which has been discontinued for a long time. Don't think it was ever very successful. Whenever I fire it up, I get like a million error messages. And then it still works. And every time I'm happy.
Cool.
I don't want to learn to use a new tool, because this one suits me just perfectly. It's a Mixmeister mix. Easy to do when you have music that really fits together this well.
Talking about mixes and the mix that you made, we also have a listener.
Yes, Dieter.
From Belgium. Right? Dieter.
Dieter is awesome.
Yes, he is.
Dieter, you're a hero. Okay, sorry. Sorry for interrupting you.
No, he did a really nice custom mix for the Infected. He put it up on SoundCloud, and we're going to share it on our website as well. He's got great taste, this man. He was so nice to mix a lot of the tracks that... some of the tracks have been featured on the show. I discovered a lot of new tracks, actually, because of Dieter, that I also like and we can also feature on the show. Like, there is a Belgian band, I believe. It's kind of a new beat track. And new beat was there before house music came along.
The Neon Judgment, you mean?
No, not that. That's also one, by the way, Jeroen. Yes, you're correct. But I'm talking about Poésie Noire. Have you heard that one? That's also in there somewhere, I believe, halfway through.
Oh, yeah.
And Dieter also made some really nice transitions. Not always. He also just flew in some tracks and then faded out, but also beat matched some tracks. Really good one. He could be just one of us. If you look at the taste, it's perfect fit.
Yeah. Yeah, totally true. And the funny thing is that on the set list, he also noted the countries that the acts were from.
Yeah.
So it's a true European tour of new wave and noir music. Mm-hmm. It's featuring songs from the UK, Belgium, Germany, France, Sweden, Turkey. So yeah, all over the place.
All over.
Very interesting selection, especially if you're in America and you want to hear some new or some classic tracks from Europe. Not all of them very well known, but I think his idea was to make a mix of songs that would get him onto the dance floor if he would be visiting a wave or a goth club night.
Yep.
And he really did his own thing and blended them into this in this single listening experience. And there's quite a number of the Infected favorites thrown in there, like you said.
Most definitely. And also some new gems we can all discover. And I believe Dieter also plays regularly, or played when we still could go to clubs, had a club night or a festival that he played. So there's a lot of other mixes that he made that's on his profile that we can also share. But the mix he made specifically for The Infected, very worthwhile. Thank you.
Yeah. And he reflects that it was a strange experience, actually, because obviously, just like all of us, he really misses these type of parties. Mm-hmm. And then again, putting together a mix like this is always a nice way to take your mind off things.
Yep.
It's great to kick back to and listen.
Yep.
We warmly recommend it. In fact, we recommend it so much that we'll include a link to Dieter's SoundCloud mix on our website. Please listen to this one first because it's awesome, but once you're on Dieter's SoundCloud, there's more stuff there to discover because he has quite a broad variety of music on his profile. So go check him out. Thanks, Dieter. Really, really appreciate it.
Yes. Thank you indeed. I'm wondering if he used Mixmeister or vinyl, or how he did this, just out of curiosity. Maybe Dieter can throw a link to our Instagram account. That's @TheInfectedNL, or let us know by email.
Yeah.
Curious to find out how he makes these mixes, by the way. Anyway.
Yeah. That's a good question, yeah. I wonder about that too, now that you ask a question.
Yeah, likewise.
The Infected.
Before we go on to the next track, let me just tell you a little bit about the second track in the mix we just heard. So first we started off with Nine Circles, and the second half was Jeff and Jane Hudson, and the song was called Help Me. It's from an album from 1982 called Flesh. Yeah, it's a long time ago. So we mixed 2014 with 82.
Wow.
Jeff and Jane Hudson were a husband and wife duo from Boston who got their first start in the art punk band The Rentals in 1977. Never heard of them.
No, me neither.
But that doesn't matter. That doesn't matter at all. Boston has always had a strong music scene, apparently, as I found out, from folk music, rock to jazz, a lot of clubs. Great people over there, apparently. And the first American show from The Clash was also in Boston. So just to prove a point that Boston was quite alive and kicking in the early 80s, music-wise. And Jeff and Jane Hudson even opened for The Clash at the time when they were still active in The Rentals.
Oh, wow.
And at the time, the London to Boston flights were quite cheap. So they got a first look at a lot of European bands in Boston, like Gary Numan, U2, Front 242, also from Belgium, Dieter, and many other bands. They just could fly really cheaply to the US, that's what I found out. So they performed there in Boston, and after the end of The Rentals, Jeff and Jane went on to the electronic synthesized route. So they were looking for a new sound, new textures. Jeff did most of the drum programming, and Jane did most of the melody lines, and they were both singing, they both played the guitar, and their first single together was released in late 1980. So their vocals are quite distinct. You cannot hear any vocals in the track we just heard, but Jeff sounds a bit shaky, a bit troubled, a bit heavy, and Jane's vocals sound more detached, more cold. If you listen to more of the Flesh album, it's entirely available on Spotify. Lucky us, the duo, they reached their pinnacle with this album called Flesh. It is one of the United States' biggest achievements in the entire synth movement of the 80s, because we've talked about a lot of bands from Britain, from Manchester, from London, from Europe, basically. But Jeff and Jane were the American voice of that time. They recorded the album over a couple of months using a four-track recorder, quite punk indeed, and a 808 drum machine. So in this episode, we covered the 707 drum machine, the 909, and now also the famous 808. They also had two synthesizers, a guitar, and a microphone. No pressure, and complete control over everything. They just did everything themselves. And if you look on Discogs, that's the biggest where you can look up all the music that's ever been put out, basically, and also buy it on CD or vinyl. You can see that the original copies of the Flesh album are heavily coveted by collectors. They're very pricey. In 1985, the band stopped performing and recording. So Jeff started to direct music videos, so video killed the radio star.
Yeah.
And Jane started producing video art. They both started teaching at the School of the Museum of Fine Arts in Boston, so they stick to Boston.
Mm-hmm.
But the good news is they're still together. They're very happy.
Cool.
After 30 years of marriage, I read in an interview, and these days Jeff is painting, producing some techno on his laptop. Jane is doing the video art, and they're still together.
There's a true love story.
Nice story, yeah.
Yeah.
And especially kick-ass song, yeah.
Kick-ass song, completely right. I really loved it, although I'm a bit curious now, because you chose this instrumental, and I'm not regretting your choice, but I'm still curious to hear their voices, so I'm going to check it out on Spotify. It's a good thing that music like this is popping up more and more on Spotify. Really, really nice.
Yes, yes, I totally agree, bro. And the thing is that it was a kind of a dragging, moody, heavy song. But they also have some really creative, upbeat tracks on that album.
Nice combination.
So, yeah, check it out.
Yeah, for sure.
Hi, you're listening to The Infected.
You're listening to The Infected. You're listening to The Infected.
You're listening to The Infected.
You're listening to The Infected.
You're listening to The Infected.
And you are listening to The Infected.
Okay, moving on.
Yes.
We're going to an island, Goof.
Oh, are we?
Yeah, but I guess it's dangerous because it's called Deception Island.
Ooh.
So this is new work from 2020.
Some fresh stuff.
NNHMN or Non-Human are a duo behind the dark electronic music formation NNHMN.
Okay.
From Berlin.
Got it.
They describe themselves as a self-transforming creatures speaking in a colored language. Yeah, so the track that first caught my attention was Deception Island, the title track of a set of two separately released EPs called Deception Island 1 and Deception Island 2 that now finally form a single album CD. Previously, life circumstances forced them to release Deception Island split into two EPs in July and November of 2020.
Damn.
And we were lucky enough to be able to do an interview with the couple behind it all.
Nice.
Which you can find on our website in its entirety. But now that Non-Human has finally housed the 10 songs in a proper album format together, it is exactly the right time to spotlight this beautiful selection of dark tracks. The album is a night-infused, synth-driven production, stepping into a wide range of moods, but certainly Deception Island has no shortage of hard-hitting tracks, quite a few of which have dance floor potential. Let's listen to the title track, Deception Island. Yeah, Deception Island by Non-Human. I just love the atmosphere, the echoes, the dreamy production of Lee's voice, the whole soundscape. I love it. What did you think?
It's, well, exactly that. And it's also the danceability you mentioned earlier is definitely there. But it's so crystal clear, the production. It takes 45 seconds and then they add a hi-hat. So they start off with that repetitive beat and bass line in the beginning. Then there's a little hi-hat and then there's another ingredient added and another one. And it ends up with a really great vibe.
Yeah.
And the thing is that the music we play in this show tends to have that dark edge, right? That dark edge. If it doesn't have that, it can be old, it can be new, but this also has that perfect mood, if you ask me.
Yeah, fits right in.
So I've played this extensively for the last week because you've put it into our playlist for the episode we're recording right now. Never heard of them, but very happy to have discovered them.
Yeah, actually from their interview, which you can find on our website, www.theinfected.nl, Deception Island was conceived while singer Lee was running outside without headphones. And as she says, "So while I was running, words came to me in the rhythm of my breathing, of the body. I kept running and repeating those words till I got home and quickly wrote all the verses and repetitions down. During a couple of sessions, we fitted it to the music. We modified the repetitions of the phrases to follow the bass line." Now, what's kind of weird is that what struck me is that this song is at around 125 BPM, which, as a former runner, I know is way too slow for a track to run to. If you want to have a nice running track, you want to have around 155, 160 BPM, depending on how heavy you are. So I guess they slowed it down a bit. I like the idea. I see this this girl running, you know, through the fields, through the town, and coming up with a song and trying to keep it all in her head and trying to hold on to it until she gets home and gets a chance to write it all down. That sort of motion out of that vision is also something I feel inside the song. So really, really like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And did you see the artwork? Man, I would love to get a tattoo of this. It's like the Memento Mori. You got that skull with some flowers behind it, like that classic Memento Mori artwork.
Yeah.
But then you also have, I think it's a woman laying on the ground. It's really nice and occult, obscure shit.
Yeah.
Really love it.
But apart from the title track, if you like that sort of art style, you should also check out I See You. Their new official video released on YouTube just a couple of weeks ago.
Okay, cool.
That's also very, very nice to check out. I'll put a link on the website on theinfected.nl for you guys to go check that out.
You're too kind. You're too kind.
Very impressed with Non-Human. Yeah.
Yeah, great pick, Jeroen.
Thank you. Thank you. And thank you guys for finding the time to do the interview and bare your souls and tell our readers and listeners more about the background and the way that you see the world right now. Thank you.
Yeah, same here, same here. Damn, check them out.
The Infected.
So, also, this last booming track brings us to the end of this week's episode. And thank you for listening. I hope you liked it. I did. How about you?
I'm just taking a swig of my beer here. I like it.
Taking a sip of your beer.
Like it even better than my beer, man.
Ah, good, good. They go well together, I think, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, also, dear listeners, this season we have a competition for you. As you will probably know by now, it's the 8-Bit Minute. So hang on till the end for a chance to win free merchandise. As always, our show notes and playlists of all the music we discussed are to be found on our website in handy links. You can also subscribe to the podcast right there. So please visit our website at theinfected.nl. Or you can use the site to get in touch. Come say hi, suggest a track, or like Dieter, submit an entire mix. Even better.
Yeah, everybody just submit mixes. Yeah. We love that.
On to the competition. If you can recognize the artist and track, send us a message through the website. And at the end of the season, the best listener wins a luxury back-printed The Infected t-shirt. This is this episode's 8-bit track. Good night, creatures of the dark. We'll meet again.
Stay strange.